All right, guys, welcome back. Dating panel take two, here we go. Last week, if you weren't here, we just took some questions off Instagram that you guys submitted, and we wanted to talk through it. First and foremost, though, I want to introduce our new female representative on the stage. This is my wife, Taylor. If you have not met Taylor, she is a regular teacher in our Sunday school class for young adults, and she is replacing Oakley because she is out of the country as of tonight. So we needed, Trayvon didn't think that you would appreciate us mansplaining all the female perspectives here. So we thought we'd bring Taylor up to offer the female perspective on some of these questions. So let's just get right to it. Question number one is a question about pace. How do you pace well in the first few months of dating? Meaning time spent, what kind of conversation should you or should you not have? So when it comes to pace, we'll do ladies first. Taylor, what? Just jump right in. Here we go. How do you pace well in the first few months of dating?
Well.
Speak for all the women.
All
for
the
all
women.
Time.
I know you said the, you know, voice of the women. I'm like, a woman. You know, my initial thought, two things. The first is that you would not meet a new friend, you know, if this is someone that you're just getting to know and like immediately tell every detail of your life story, you know? And so I think in some ways you do not do things too much differently than you would getting to know anyone, right? And then my other really thought is that we want to, in everything as believers, keep step with the Spirit. And so as you are getting to know someone, you are prayerful and you are not wanting to get ahead of that sort of connection with the Lord because you get so excited about someone.
Let's lean into that idea just in case there may be some new believers, young believers in the crowd. They just started following Jesus. When you say keep pace with the Spirit, mm-hmm. talking Holy Spirit,
yes.
right? Like what? How do you do that? How do you keep in pace and in walking with God's Spirit? Like, how would you explain or encourage someone to do that?
Right. Well, for me, this entails just in a relationship staying connected with Him. So this is going to be my most important, most central relationship. And so I am not going to do anything, whether I'm on a date or in any context, that I would not take the Lord along with me. Right? And so that goes in with the kind of things I talk about and goes into sort of just that. And I'm not, obviously, no one is perfect at this, but it's just sort of this having in mind that the Lord is indwells me. And so that has to do with my behavior and my words and who I am, who I'm becoming. And so this is kind of a conversation with Him as we go and paying attention to any kind of sense of conviction or, I don't know, does that
yeah.
make sense?
Trayvon, okay. what do you think about how do you keep pace well the first weeks, months of dating?
Yeah, I think one, piggybacking off of what Taylor said, discernment is such a big thing of the conviction and just comfort of what God is giving you. And I think something to be said on that is you can't speak to someone that you don't know and don't have a relationship with. And so if we're going to lean in on a Christian relationship, then live out as a Christian, like actually have that time with God. But I also think a lot of it just goes with being socially aware of what's too fast and what's getting outside of the bounds of, hey, I've known you for 2 weeks, but like you are my everything. And then it's like, a week later, you find out
some
something
giggles
new.
Already.
Yeah, and you find out something.
They may have a friend that has done that before.
But yeah, I think there's a recklessness in kind of the way I would say it. If you just go all gas, no brakes in a car, and you ask someone to get in that car with you, and then you just drive, and then you get to the middle of nowhere, and you're like, you know what? I don't want you on this trip anymore, and you just let them out. And I think that's what we do sometimes in just the pacing of, we don't get to know them. We don't know if we want them along for the long ride, but we're like, hey, we're just going as fast as we can. And then it's just like, you know what? You can get out right here, and they're lost. They're confused. And it can be so unloving and uncaring to just do that to someone. And so I think it's considering, what is a good pace of, are we both aware of where we're going? Do we both want to be on this ride? And then again, adjusting of, it's not just me, so I can't just take control, but is this somewhere where you're comfortable going? And so that, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen the unintended consequences of this a ton over the last 10 years of young adult ministry. Is people are so excited. There's like, I'm going on a date, let's go. And then they go. It's like 4 dates the first week, 4 dates the next week. And then they either run out of money or time. And it just fizzles super fast. And then both people are left like, what just happened? And it actually causes a lot of, I don't know if damage is the right word, but it causes a lot of stuff to bubble up, because then all of a sudden it's like, well, what's wrong with me? Things were going so well so quickly, and now all of a sudden, and so it causes, and I think the enemy gets involved in that, those whispers of who you are as a person. So we kind of talked about Romans 12:10 earlier, of that verse that we've talked about, honor one another above yourselves. And just because we may want a certain pace, and we need to make sure that we're thinking about the other person. So let me lead into the next question. Are there things you should not discuss when you're just dating? So that's not necessarily a pace thing, but just in dating in general, are there things you shouldn't discuss when you're dating? And maybe that is a pace question, I don't know.
Yeah, when I thought about this, I look at, in dating, one, the danger of leaning into the fantasy of, hey, because I like you, and sometimes we waver between what's manipulation and sometimes overpromising, not knowing what's on the other side of that with the heart. And what I mean by that is, you're dating someone, and me telling a girl that I haven't quite got the comfort of, I'm gonna marry you or make you my wife, but I'm telling you, you know what, you would be a great wife. Like, think of the kids we could have, here's the house, and we paint this fantasy, and we forget that on the other side of that, people fall in love with that. And so that now becomes an attachment to the relationship. And I think there's times where, if we're not careful, we fall in love with the fantasy and don't realize we're not falling in love with the person. And so I think there can be a danger in discussing those things out of place of building someone's hopes up of, I'm gonna make you my wife. And it's like, that's not really where I'm at, but it sounds good because I know that's what you desire and you'll latch onto that. And so I think that would be one of the biggest things that I think of like, hey, you probably shouldn't talk about that until you're at a place where this is a real consideration, because it's just not kind to, one, put someone's heart in that position when you don't have the intentions to do anything.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a more helpful question to frame this, rather than are there things that we should just never talk about while dating, I think it's better to talk about, what's the context of the conversation? When we're talking about something like future things, right? What's the timing of that? When, how far along in the relationship is it appropriate?
Because at some point it's appropriate.
Right, at some point it's appropriate. First date, like first month, let's not start talking about getting married
future
yet.
Future plans.
Right.
Let's just talk about next week. Is there another date?
Yes.
Right.
Right, or if it's like a really sensitive topic, right? I think there are situations where you might need to talk about, or maybe there's some things that you guys have been dating for a while and you think, okay, this is starting to get serious. They need to know more of the details of my story. And so maybe some more sensitive things. Maybe you want to talk about sexual history. Maybe you want to talk about some abuse history. Those kinds of more serious, deep topics, like, where and when are you having that conversation?
And I think that goes back to what one of you guys were talking about, discernment.
Yes.
Yep.
So let's talk about that topic for a second, because we kind of live in a world where discernment is growing in necessity at a ridiculous rate with AI, with fake images, fake headlines. Like, that idea of discernment. So how do you, like Taylor, think about that, what you just said. How do you discern the when and the how of maybe the next level of conversation of vulnerability or whatever? Like, what does discernment maybe look like for that?
Well, I think sometimes the more intimate the topic, the wiser it is to have a less intimate environment. So if you're talking about something really emotionally bonding, right, it would be wise to maybe talk about that during the daytime on a walk in public, rather than at 11 o'clock at night on your couch. Just those kinds of things, I think you can be discerning about.
Jim, what, you got thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to paint the picture a little more clearly, like there's some general wisdom that it doesn't have to be this revelation from God, but like what she's saying is, I didn't realize until I got married how intimate prayer is, and so you may have the best intentions, and you pray with someone, and as a Christian man, you should be attracted to someone who is talking about the depth of God. And then before you know it, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm drawn to you. You shouldn't be having that conversation alone on the bed because it could lead to other things.
Well, that's what first attracted me to Taylor.
Yeah.
We were in a meeting and this girl was praying and I was like, who is that? Just because of how she was praying.
Yeah.
And I was like, it piqued my interest. And so that's a discernment thing of when, how, where, all those things.
But then I also think it is going back to, we talked about singleness last week and the aspect of your personal relationship with God. And I've just always, it irked me when guys and girls have said, like, I feel like God just told me that I'm supposed to break up with you doesn't fit. And one of my biggest pet peeves that I always talk about is, you heard from God in this, but you didn't hear from him in any other aspect of life. Like, to me, I'm like, that's a concern. And it comes off as a cop-out of, like, is your personal relationship there? Because you're not going to hear from God if you're not spending time with him. If you're not actually in his word and devoting yourself to that, it's hard to say. I got that discernment because I've always said my voice, the enemy's voice, and God's voice all sound the same when I'm really trying to make a decision. And I can only separate that when I've truly been in time with the Lord where I'm like, that's his voice, not mine. And so I think if we're going to lean in and say, hey, I want to make a decision off discernment, then lean into the relationship so you can know the voice that is going to discern you.
I think that's a really good point. One thing I would add to that is I think when it comes to dating, romantic feelings, all the things, is if you're trying to discern something in the loneliness of your own head and your own heart, that is a recipe for disaster and poor choices. Because you are romantically interested, which means your hopes and your dreams and your fears and your wounds and your insecurities are also wrapped up in that. So what I would say is, in my experience, to really discern about any decision in life, is that God speaks, in my estimation, in three ways: through God's word, God's spirit, and God's people. And so though that's a filter to use when it comes to discernment. And here's the good and bad news about it is there's a security there of not just trusting my own thoughts and feelings, all right? Like, I know God gives us feelings. We'll get into that in a minute. But I can't trust my feelings a lot of the time because they're coming from a selfish, fleshly place. But then if I run through the filter of God's word, and as Trayvon just said, if I'm not spending time with God in prayer with his spirit, well, then I need to widen the circle and bring other brothers and sisters in Christ that I know and trust to say, hey, this is what I'm sensing. This is what I'm thinking. Would you, not just what do you think about it, but how about we pray about this together for X amount of days or a week so that we can sense that God's leading us in the same direction? That way, all of the power of the decision isn't resting on my shoulders. And so to me, that's a good move of discernment as well, is just widen the circle, open God's word, talk to God's spirit, say, Lord, would you lead me in this? Would you show me if there's anything? It's just the Psalms. That's what we're doing. We're just praying. So that's one thing I would throw out there. All right, next question. Let's keep moving here. We had multiple, questions around this topic of breaking up. But here we go. What's an honorable way to stop pursuing someone after already showing interest? Or how to kindly and biblically reject someone? I think we had at least four questions around that kind of idea. So you got feelings and then you don't have feelings. What do we do?
Ladies first.
Ladies first.
All right. Well, one of the things, Andy, we were talking about this one earlier, and I think kind of having an ongoing conversation is the way to go here. Like you go on a date and afterwards say, hey, I had a lot of fun. I would love to do that again. Maybe then you go again. And then the next time you're like, I had a lot of fun again. I'd like to keep doing this. Like, but if you don't, like, I want to know that. Like, I don't know if that's a good way to phrase it. But just so that it's not like, oh, we're clicking along. All of a sudden, rejected. You know, it's like, as you go and kind of coming into it knowing, hey, we're both in this because we want to find our person. And this is a personal process, but at the same time, like, there's going to be some, it's not just you in the relationship, you know, like you're not the main character. And so there's another person and there, you don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's not feeling it, who doesn't, you know, see a future. Nobody wants to be led on. And so I think part of it is just keeping lines of communication open, rather than just being like, well, you have reached my 5-date limit and you don't measure up, so you've been let go. I don't know. I see that
kicked
happen
off the island,
a lot of times where a young woman that I don't talk to the guys about this really. So I'll talk to a gal and she's like, I thought everything was going great. Right. And then all of a sudden he stopped texting me back. He stopped calling me. Like everything seemed great. He told me he really enjoyed, you know, whatever it is. And so then it's like a shock rather than being a conversation.
Yeah, that's good. Trayvon, what do you think?
Yeah, I love the aspect of clarity. Sometimes I think we shy away from saying what we really feel because we think that we're protecting the other person. Well, I don't want to just shut them down and then it ruins their confidence. But at the same time, and I can speak for the guys on this, you're not doing me any favors if you don't like me and you don't want to be with me, but you lead me on. Because quite frankly, it's a waste of my time.
Like, what does that look like? What are our ladies doing that might be leading a guy on?
Yeah. One, don't.
And vice versa, Taylor. That's going to come back to you.
Yeah. One, I'd say, like, if you truly have zero desire to go on a date and you, yes, there's some nuances in navigating that, but if you know it's a no, don't say yes and then come back later on and then be like, hey, I just didn't want to tell you in public, but it's really a no. Like, again, to me, now I'm confused on, like, what changed in between that moment and then.
Meaning they initially they accept the
yes.
date and then later on over text you get a text saying, hey, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think also like don't just gaslight people and tell them that you enjoy qualities about them that you really don't. Like, man, I just think you're the most amazing person. I love all of these things if it's not true, because as that person leans into those things and they're thinking like, oh, you're impressed, in reality, you're cringing behind the scenes. It's going to be confusing when one day you're like, hey, everything's great. And then it's like, you know what? I've been miserable. I'm just done. And it's just kind of that jerk reaction that it confuses people. And it's just unkind. Yeah.
Taylor, as you've met with our young adult ladies, what's that sense that you get about what guys do that maybe inadvertently leads them on?
I think that there are situations I've seen, and this isn't necessarily a young woman telling me this, this is my observation, is that there are guys who want to keep making out with girls, but they don't really see the future, but they want to have someone they can kiss and touch their body. And they have to be in a relationship with that girl in order to do that because they're a good guy. And so they keep dating her and they drag her around. until it inevitably crashes and burns. And so I'm sure it happens the other way around, but as a woman, that is my observation. And then I think maybe on the other side, girls, these are generalities, right? They want a guy to help them feel good about themselves in whatever way that is. And so they kind of know, I don't think this is the person that I want to continue seeing, but I really like having the attention because it makes me feel better. And so it just kind of comes down to an honoring the other person above yourself kind of issue.
Well, no, I think everything that we're talking about stays with the theme that we have been revolving around is honor one another above yourselves. That love is not self-seeking, that love is not is protecting. And I think we hit on this last week, that one of the themes that I felt like we discussed last week was just this idea of self-protection. I think that's a really sneaky, because we can make self-protection sound really noble. You know, kind of like to your point, like I don't want to hurt them. And so therefore I'm going to reject them this way or this way. And in doing so, you actually hurt them worse.
Or hope they catch on.
Or hope they
catch on. And eventually
break
up with you because you're such a bad boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or you just don't want to feel like I'm mean because I've broken up with this person.
No.
And I also see this both sides. This sort of, you hear it in business, like a sunk cost fallacy. Like I've already spent this much time. I've already spent, 2 years of my life working on this relationship, trying to make it work. And there's some real issues with it, but I've already spent so long. And if we break up now, then I'm already 28 or I'm already 35 or whatever it is. And so you keep trying to make something that you know deep down is not right, right? Yeah. So I see that too.
Let's move really quickly to kind of the after. I've got some thoughts I want to add to this, mm-hmm. but I want to make sure we get through what's helpful here. Let's talk about the aftermath of the rejection, all right? Somebody says, hey, this isn't going to work. Or they get asked out and they say, nah, I don't want to go out with you. Thank you for asking. What do we see happen after that moment that is actually unintentional consequences of this process of saying no?
Yeah. I think one of the most detrimental things I see is after we reject someone, even when we do it kindly, is the gossip that ends up taking place amongst the friend group, to where it's like, hey, you can say it as nice as you want, but then when you tell it to your girlfriends or your guy friends, and then all of a sudden the entire group is talking about it, it doesn't matter how you went about it. By the time it circles back around, if I'm a guy and I put myself out there in a vulnerable space, and then I hear from all of your friends, it's insulting that you've essentially made fun of me in the way that you've made it a laugh for everyone else. And I see us do that, I'd say intentionally and unintentionally, so much in this space. And then it's hard because this room isn't that big. And Oklahoma City in general isn't that big, but then it kind of casts this light of like, I can't enter that space. Like I've already been rejected, everyone else knows it. And I think it puts up those barriers, but it also causes the self-doubt, the devaluing of self when it's like, what does everyone else think about me? Do they agree with this rejection? And so I think sometimes we lose sight of how deeply wounding it can be in the conversations that we have with our friends.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just, sometimes everybody knows you go to a park or out in nature, you want to leave it better than you found it. But we don't even treat people that way. You know, like if someone puts themselves out there, usually the guy, not always, and ask somebody out and you let them down, you should want what's best for that person. And if you go and sort of sow a little trail, then the next person they ask out, they're gonna know, oh, they don't really like me. They liked so-and-so, and they liked so-and-so, and I already know you asked out this person, this person, this person. Like, don't do that to that person. Like, just let them go and be free, and don't muddy the waters for them.
That's a real issue of like, Trayvon, what you're talking about is, hey, so-and-so asked me out, I said no. Well, maybe a month or two or three, 6 months later, if that person wants to ask out the friend, they know they're second fiddle. And they're like, oh, well, it's just interesting to watch how the dynamics of friends and friend groups that happen through this. Go ahead.
I also think there was an interesting conversation that we got into earlier about kind of the concept of girl and guy code and this concept of dibs. Of like, hey, I like this person, and so even if they've rejected me, then they can't talk to any of my friends or anything else because I've already called claim on it. And I just love how we even talked about it. I can't remember who said it, but one, think about the value that you're putting on someone when you just look across the room and you say, hey, you're mine, and if I can't have you, no one else can. What are you really saying of like, I analyzed you, I have the authority and right and power to say I own you in some concept. But then also this bro and girl code of like, well, my best friend who cares about me, even though they don't want him, like, you can't talk to him because he talked to me at one point. But in some cases, if that's a great, we'll just say a great guy on the other side, wouldn't you want that for your best friend? Like, wouldn't you want them to be with a guy that's caring and loving, even if it didn't work out for you? And sometimes we get so caught up in our personal emotions and feelings that we don't realize the hindrance or even the value that we're putting on other people when we just say like, hey, I am the center of all of this. And it's just self-fulfilling. It's selfish in a way of, I don't care about even the person on the other side that maybe I had interest in. If they don't have interest in me, I really don't care anything about them.
It goes back to like last week when we were talking about do we have a different way to think about this? Do we have the capacity to celebrate good things for other people when that good thing's not happening to me? And that, again, it reveals a lot of our character and where we find our value and all that kind of stuff. This idea of rejection, let me just frame this up in this way. I think that just like when you go on a road trip, you have an on-ramp to the freeway. And to give an off-ramp option to know like, hey, like kind of what I think, Taylor, what you were saying is clarify if it went well and clarify if it didn't go well. Or maybe you're not on the same page of saying, well, hey, I'm having a great time and I would like to continue, but if there's any time that you don't feel the same, please let me know. I'm good. I don't want you to be in this any more than you want to be in it. And so I think a lot of times we just don't give people an off-ramp. And so the awkwardness is when we have to force an off-ramp versus, hey, if this is a regular, normal conversation in the dating relationship of clarity, expectation, direction, pace, that it just becomes normal. Instead of like, if you're going down a freeway and you don't see an exit ramp, well, you're just gonna have to crash or go over the median and it's just gonna be bad for everybody involved. So I just wonder if that kind of visual, and I think also what I see is, and Oakley brought this up last week with her personal story of when she kind of put herself out there and the guy rejected her. And I thought it was a really cool story of how he's like, hey, let's go for a walk and let's talk about it. Because they were friends and he wanted to save the friendship. But I think that with the rejection or the end or an off-ramp, figure out a way to honor is to, as you say that, how can I genuinely build up my brother or sister in Christ in the middle of this? So for instance, we talked about passivity last week, that a lot of our ladies are frustrated with the passivity of men. Well, when a guy finally does put themselves out there, you don't have to say yes, which by the way, gentlemen, if you feel entitled to a girl saying yes to you because you're a Christian, get over yourself, okay? That's crazy. Just because you share a faith doesn't mean you deserve a date, okay? I just want to be blunt on that. But I think that you can say, hey, you know what? I'm not interested in going on a date with you, but I appreciate you asking. It's flattering to know that you would like to do that. Proud of you. Good job on asking me out. Way to go, man. You know, like just build him up a little bit. I remember when I was a kid, or what, kid, teenager, college, I felt like a cartoon, like when you kind of stick your neck out and you hand the girl the axe and be like, please don't hurt me. You know, like, it's a terrifying thing, ladies. You're putting yourself out there. And so to say, hey, thank you, but no thank you, but good job asking out. You did a good job. You put yourself out there and I appreciate that. Like that kind of thing, you're building somebody up on the way out. All right, let's move on, unless you guys got anything else on that idea. All right, what's your advice to people who have no prospects but would like to get out and date?
Okay, my first one on this and is pray. Like, actually pray to God about what it is that you're wanting. And I know a lot of you are like, oh my gosh, I've been praying for forever. But here's what I find, is that when I ask that question of young women, is a lot of times they say they've prayed or they have prayed, but they've stopped. Because when we continue to pray, we often self-protect, right? We are like, well, God already knows that that's the desire of my heart, and I'm tired of asking. And then we start to sort of get a wall up in our heart, not only about dating, but toward the Lord. And anyway, so that's the number one thing, is pray about everything. And you cannot overestimate God's attention to detail in your life. And I think when we stop praying and stop hoping, that it sort of belies a lack. We have to ask ourselves, if I've stopped praying about this, what is it that I believe about God? Do I really believe that he's a good father who gives good gifts? Do I really believe he has my best in mind? Do I really believe that he's listening to me, right? So that's the first thing, is that you truly don't feel like you have any prospects or you feel like giving up. Are you talking to the Lord about it? Is your heart available and open?
Let me humanize this for a moment. I'll tell a story of myself. When I moved to Oklahoma City, I was 24 years old. I was actively dating, moved away from my girlfriend, and I was here for like a month, and I flew back to go see her, and she broke up with me. And I was ticked at her, but mostly to the Lord. Because one, he had moved me to a city where I didn't know anybody, and now he had taken the one thing in my life that I was looking forward to, and he'd taken that away too. And so for 6 months, I did not pray, I did not read my Bible. I just shut off God, because I was mad. And so to your point, what I was actually believing was, God, if you are good, and you have my best interest in mind, you will do what I want to do when I want you to do it. And thank God she broke up with me, because 7 months later, a month after I stopped throwing a fit, I met Taylor in a prayer meeting and things changed. But I did that for 6 months and I was doing full-time ministry at the time. I was just like, screw you, God, I'm done. You know, like, I just threw a fit. That's what I did. I just took my ball and went home, kind of idea. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's a very normal thing. But what, any other thoughts, or Trayvon, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I think when I saw this question, I had a lot of thoughts. One, on the concept of prospects. One, does that just mean you don't have your eyes on someone, or is it the perspective of no one has their eyes on you? And one of the things I've seen for young adults, and I've seen people in our ministry experience it, of they get fixated on this one tier or group of people of like, this is who I want. And they say they have no prospects because that one person that they desire so badly is not responding. And I think there's, to be blunt, I think there's sometimes an evaluation of self of, am I idolizing and pursuing something that is just not there? Because sometimes we want things that are not good for us. It's like, you have nothing in common with this person. You don't relate in any way, but that's just your desire. Then I think we have to check our own hearts and yeah, reflect on that. And sometimes it's also going back to the faith part, beyond praying, is also trusting God when he calls you to move. And what I mean by that is sometimes we get so fixated on this is the place where he has me. It's going to happen here. It's going to happen now. And I've seen so many of our young adults when they finally are like, all right, I'm done just looking in this space. And they're like, I'm going to trust where God has and I'm going to be open to that, that they will step out of this room or out of their city, their comfort, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, there's a person that is like me that just isn't in the place where I've always been. Of sometimes you have to fish in a different pond if there's nothing here, and that's okay.
Yeah. And I think too, speaking as a married person, I would never come up to one of you, and there's different, some people are busybodies, but I would never be like, can I set you up, right? I would never do that. And a lot of married people, we don't want to say that to our single friends because we don't want them to think that they need a man, you know what I mean? Or they need a woman. Like, you are complete in Christ. But if you are interested in being set up, tell people. Like, tell people. Tell people you trust. Tell people that you know you. And then be open when maybe they say that. Because I've seen that happen, too, to young adults. This one sweet gal, we met together for years and years and years, and she was like, you know, I've been in this ministry for almost a decade. I have, you know, this is never going to happen for me. And then she had some friends be like, hey, we were thinking of you and we were thinking of this guy we know from college. Would you ever be interested in being set up with someone out of state? And she was like, Taylor, what do you think? And I was like, what? You have just been whining about how you have no prospects, right? like literally less than a year later, she's married, you know, because she was willing to do something a little out of her comfort zone. And so if you don't have prospects, then tell people, like, hey, I am looking for my husband, right?
Well, and I think that goes back to what we made a little bit earlier is like, in my own head, I may not know what's best, but the people who know me, watch me, live near you, like they know who you are. And so without the romantic interest, they actually might have a better, you know, BS meter than you do. Of like, you guys would actually get along pretty well. You know, so that's widening that circle of discernment and inviting people into it. Let's see here. I'm gonna get through all these. What I would say in the season of no prospects, whatever that means, is a couple of things. I'm gonna move out from the idea of like, well, how do you get prospects, to how do you handle the waiting? Because I know for a fact that the one thing that we do not want to do is wait. We do not want to wait. Everything in us says, let's move faster. Let's get past this uncomfortableness. And what I'm telling you is God is forming something in you that he can only form in the waiting. Waiting is a gift. It doesn't feel like it. It never feels like it, but God is doing something. And so trust him. Don't get mad at him like I did and throw a fit. Get really curious, like, God, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do in me? What are you wanting to form in me? What are you showing me? Reveal to me in this season what it is, because we waste the wilderness of life, those seasons of wilderness. We waste it, God does not. We waste it by getting busy. We waste it by just dating casually, just to fill up our time. We waste it by playing video games incessantly. We waste it by just scrolling because we don't want to deal with the quietness of our soul. But what does God's word say? It says, be still and know that I am God. And I think what I would tell people, and this isn't just a single thing, this is literally every season of your life, there's gonna be something that God's wanting to form in you. And so the waiting can be a wonderful thing. And it's not easy, it's not fun, but it can be a season where God's producing and forming something in you that you will actually need for the next season. And I just want to encourage you, don't skip it. All right, let's move on here. We've got two more I want to get to. How do you discern what feelings or desires are from the Lord and what are not from the Lord? Miss Feelings, do you
want to? All right, as the feeler of the group. emotions and feelings, it's a gift from God, mm-hmm. right? We are all designed with feelings. And feelings are, they're just information, right? It is information. But feelings don't always last, right? They can come and go. They can go up and down and over and out and loop-de-loop. I speak from experience there. And so I will often hear, and I've said this myself, and I've heard people say it again and again, that God, if you want me not to like this person, then take my feelings away. As though they have nothing to do with me, right? As though I'm not currently, I don't have any responsibility for what to do with these feelings. And I would challenge and push back a little bit on that kind of perspective, because I think we do have, sort of dominion in our lives, and not that it is easy to have feelings for someone who doesn't return that. It's not, that is hard. But speaking as someone who, like, I remember I had this devastating crush on this boy for like years, and I'd be like, Lord, take these feelings away. And they're like, you know what I should do? I should write that boy a really encouraging note. Yeah, I should like spend a lot of time like decorating it and praying for him and being a really supportive and invested friend and in his relationship with this other girl. Like, I was an idiot. That was stupid. Like, how am I praying for the Lord to take away feelings? I'm actively fanning into flame. Like, that's ridiculous. And so I think we have to take responsibility for our feelings to know, okay, here's where they are. And if you truly don't want to feel that way, like, there's things you can do. Put your attention elsewhere. And so I think we have to be discerning about our feelings. Does that answer the question? Did I go way off the rails?
No, I think that's great. No. Trayvon, anything?
Yeah, I think for guys, I'd say actually lean into feeling those feelings. Because I think at times we could mask it, and I think there's a danger in Christian culture at times of masculinity and what it means to not have to lean into the emotions, not cry, and all the things that I've heard, and they still pour out somehow. And for me, at one point, I remember it was anger, and it's like, that's going to show up in a detrimental way. And so learn how to take those feelings and process the information, but then communicate it. But I'd say also, like, learn what the information is telling you. If someone continually makes you feel less than or sad, then, okay, like, it's not hard to discern in there. There's a miscompatibility somewhere in there. It doesn't mean that maybe they're doing it intentionally or they're a terrible person, but sometimes their tone or their way of communication may not be good for you. And if that's not sustainable, don't put yourself in a position where you think that there's something wrong with you because of your feelings that someone else is reckless with. And so going back to, I think we've said this in a number of capacities, but not only be honest with the other person, but be honest with yourself of like, if this is getting hard, you need to tell someone. Like, if I'm dating someone and this girl is like, hey, this is mean. If they show no regard and they're just like, I don't care, run. Because they're going to continue to be mean once you're married and everything else. Like, if someone doesn't care about your feelings, it's not going to change. And so I think that's a proper way to filter and understand and communicate through that.
That's a good distinction.
Well, and I think with feelings, it's just a funny, Taylor and I are very different. When we got married, to me, there's only two reasons why you would ever cry. Someone died, or you broke your femur bone. Outside of those two scenarios in my head, there was really no reason to cry, okay? And so what I've learned, because I'm married to a very emotional person, is that emotions are actually really healthy and good because they are just what you said. They are a signal of something's going on. And what we tend to do is we try to medicate those feelings. And for a lot of men, our biggest emotion is not tears, it is anger, because anger is an emotion. And so men say we're not emotional, but oh, we are absolutely emotional. We just let it out in different ways. And so I think that if you think about your car dashboard, emotions are often like a little light that goes off. And so when emotions come up, instead of just saying, that's what I'm gonna do, I'm going to lean, versus getting curious and bringing it to the Lord and saying, God, why am I feeling this way? And then sit still and know that he is God. Go on a walk, sit on your back porch, go for a drive, and talk to God. God, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling less than. I feel worthless. I feel alone. And then ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on in me that this is why I'm feeling? What am I believing? What am I ignoring? What is the truth to this feeling? Because I'll be the first to tell you, the enemy loves to take our feelings and just feed you lies and narratives all day long to feed that belief. And so that's why God's word says whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, think on these things. And so one thing, when we went to marriage counseling early in our marriage, and one of the things that just, there's a moment that just has seared in my mind where Taylor was sharing a story, I don't even remember what it was about, and the narrative was coming out of just kind of negative self-talk. And our counselor just stopped Taylor and said, you're not a very good friend to yourself, are you? And she just, of course, started crying. And I was like, what's happening right now? Like, but like, the point he was making was, you would never say that to your friend, but you are telling yourself that all day long. Yeah. And to me, when I look back on that, I'm like, that's the enemy. He's gonna plant a seed, and he is gonna feed that and water that and water that. We have to take our emotions, our thoughts, and we have to disciple them. We have to tell what is true.
And I think sometimes we confuse thoughts and feelings, because sometimes something is a thought that either we are reinforcing thinking, like negative self-talk, maybe it's the enemy, maybe it's something that your mom used to say or do, or some expectation that you just have because of your upbringing, and it is a thought, and you have feelings about the thought, but the thought is not true. And so I think sometimes it's helpful to get a lot of clarity. You know, if you say something like, I feel like I'm never gonna get married, right? Well, that's not a feeling, right? Not really, that's a thought. That's a thought that you are afraid you're never gonna get married. And so
it may bring up some big feelings.
It brings up some feelings. I don't know if that's a good example or not, but sometimes we really have to kind of get granular with it. And again, I hate to just harp on this, but I just think so much of these dating issues, they're situational to the season that you're in, but the issues underneath the issues, whether it's waiting, whether it's prayer, whether it's what you believe about God, whether he's good, whether he really wants good things for you, like that is not about dating. Like these are life things, these are faith things. And so all this whole situation, wherever you find yourself in the dating spectrum, all of it is grounds for sanctification. And by sanctification, I mean the process by which that Holy Spirit is helping form you into the image of Christ. And so God is not picky. He will use anything. Listen, and if you don't learn it now, he's gonna give you another opportunity once you do get married. And then if you have children with those, and then whatever, some job situation, whatever it is, like you will always need to have a strong patience muscle. You think you just need it now, waiting for your husband or your wife to come along? Oh, no, no, no. You're going to need patience for the rest of your life. You're going to need the faith it takes to wait on God's timing for the rest of your life. You are going to need discernment for the rest of your life, where God is going to take you and what he has formed you on this earth to do for his kingdom, right? And so this kind of stuff, it is situational. And so you've probably have something that's come up in your mind where you're like, well, what you said doesn't apply to me for yada, yada. And I'm sure it doesn't. But there is something in it that God wants to form in you, right? that matters far beyond this situation. So sorry to get a little preachy there.
All right, we're gonna wrap up. A couple quick things. One, we talked about God's word, God's spirit, and God's people. If you don't have people in your life that you can like widen the circle with, please come talk to us. We would love to help you in any way we can, to be a listening ear, to help you process, to pray with you. So don't go alone, all right? That's why we have small groups, we have Sunday school class. We have got a lot of options to expand that community for you. And I do wanna read just really quickly before we just go, I pray and we go into worship, because we're gonna finish this session of dating, just turning our eyes and hearts back onto the Lord. But we've talked about four scriptures over the last 4 weeks. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is simply trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust him. Do not trust your view or your understanding, but in all your ways, including dating, acknowledge God, bring him into it, bring him into the conversation, and he will make your path straight. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says, I give you a new command, love one another as I have loved you. And by the way that you love one another, everyone will know you're my disciples. So we need to date in a way that the way that you date will be so obvious to people. They're like, man, they must be Christians. They must be followers of Jesus. Look how he treats her. Look how she talks about him, even in rejection. You know, like how are we loving and caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ? And then 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 is that love. Love is patient. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor. It is not self-seeking, which means it's not self-protective. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. And then lastly, we've used this over and over, Romans 12, 10, honor one another above yourself. And when I think that word honor, how do I give them the advantage over myself? How do I put them in a position to walk out of this, like you said, better than when we first met kind of idea? Because go back to this idea of like the ratio of breakups and heartbreak to matrimony are gonna be way out of whack. This is just what we do in our culture. So trust the Lord in it, widen the circle, pray. Like the older I get, the more the pray without ceasing passage makes total sense to me. When I was young, I was like, how do you do that? Like now it's like, how do you not do that? Life is crazy. Every season is crazy. Every season there's waiting, like just like you said. So let me pray for us, and we'll be available afterwards. If you have questions, if you have nuanced situations that you wanna run past, Taylor will be available to talk. Traven and I will be able to talk. Well, can we give it to Taylor for coming this week? You can see why I married her, right? Like, I mean, gotta lock that down. All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you just for this night. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to dive into your word and look at this topic of dating through the lens of your scripture and your truth. Holy Spirit, I pray that every person in this room, every person watching online, Holy Spirit, would you comfort them? Would you heal in them, Lord, the wounds of the past? Would you give them your peace that surpasses all understanding, God, that you are with them wherever they go? God, would you protect them from the enemy's schemes? Would you bring to mind, Lord, quickly the lies that they are believing and the truth that counteracts that lie? And so, Lord, our heart, Lord, is to date and to be married and to be single and all of it, Lord, to your glory and for our good. And so, Lord, would you take the fear? Would you take the anxiety? Would you take the insecurities and the frustrations? And God, would you wash us clean? Would you convince us? Would you cut us to the heart of your goodness and your love for us, that we can trust you with everything, even our relationships. In your son's name, amen.